This week on Minds Over Matter, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by the San Francisco Chronicle's Leah Garchik and the music critic of the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. And here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely day out there. It's beautiful weather, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your participation. It's very, very important. We have a great panel here tonight, and we're ready to take your questions and hopefully give you some answers as well. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. That is 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Of course, if you've been listening to the station for more than 5 minutes, you know that we're doing a pledge drive tonight and all week. So naturally, we are hoping that if you appreciate Minds Over Matter, and we certainly enjoy bringing it to you, but if you'd appreciate the programming that KALW provides, and that includes Minds Over Matter, of course, that you will pony up and donate whatever you feel is appropriate. We get big donations, we get small donations, and we welcome all donations. So that is 800-525-9917. Again, that's 800-525-9917 to donate to KALW. If you appreciate the programming the KALW has, it's very eclectic, and most people do appreciate that. Feel free to donate, and you can also go to kalw.org and donate there. Again, that is kalw.org. Okay. You'll be hearing about that a couple times during the hour. We'll try to bring you as much of the quiz show as possible, though, not to break in too often. And just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word. And that is at yahoo.com. So that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. You can make a donation while you're there. And if you like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, probably cooking and food and classical music. So anyway, all that being said, we will start with the round of introductions. And here is the first. Joshua Cosman is delighted to know that the Sword of Liberty is mightier than Le Pen. Very cleverly done.
Thank you. And Leah Garchik attended the How Weird Street Fair today, reports that in San Francisco, the fishnets and sequins look like everyday wear.
They do.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, just saw the King of Sweden, but didn't ask what he was needing.
All right.
We should be able to do a limerick of that. I'm going to multitask and work on that.
That's Minnie the Moocher, by the way. That's where I got it from.
Oh, I thought it was just a poem.
Sing us a few lines.
She had a dream about the King of Sweden. She gave her things. He gave her things that she was needing. That's part of Minnie the Moocher. All right. All that being said, we will start with our guest, Joshua Cosman.
All right. Let's start with Saturday Night Live, which has been on the air for some 40-some-odd years. And my questions to you are, who's the youngest person to have hosted the show? Who's the oldest person to have hosted the show? Who's the first and who's the last alphabetically to host the show? So you got four chances at glory with this one.
All right.
Looking among the people to have hosted Saturday Night Live in its 40-some-odd year history, I'm looking for the youngest host, the oldest host, first alphabetically, last alphabetically.
I bet the youngest was Macaulay Culkin.
That's what my wife said, too. It's a good guess, but it's not right.
I think the youngest was Drew Barrymore.
That is correct. Give yourself a bell.
Oops, I got the bell. I'll say about seven, maybe?
That is exactly right. Well done.
All right, all right.
And in the wake of, yeah.
Is the oldest Betty White?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
All right. Gonna...
Who was 89?
88. Yep, that was very recent. That was just in 2010.
And the first alphabetically and the last by last name?
Yeah.
Did Billy Zane... Did he ever do it? Isn't that guy's name?
You mean the last? Yeah. I don't know that he did, but he wasn't the last one. I don't think he did.
I don't know.
But he, in any case, the person who was last would be past him.
Oh, past. So it's a Z.
Sure.
We've established that.
Yes.
Z.
Ephraim Zimbalist?
Yeah, right. Good
guess, but not
Ephraim
right.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Huh. So it's a Z. Yeah. Frank Zappa.
Good guess, but not right.
He did. He was. He,
yes, but...
I don't know if he hosted, but he was
he hosted and he was the musical host.
Okay, all right.
So while you're pondering that, I have one more Saturday Night Live question. I'm just going to throw these all out here, and then I'll back off. Who's the only musical guest who was primarily a classical performer, known as a classical performer?
Oh.
And I want you to know I scanned the entire list just to see if they'd ever had a classical performer on there.
Placido Domingo?
No. But is it's a good guess.
Is because he has a kind
keep
of...
Keep going with that.
Joie de vivre.
Keep going with that.
Then it's a singer?
Yeah.
Okay. An operatic singer.
Yeah.
Pavarotti?
That is correct.
Oh, okay. Good.
And I was so happy. And then I looked into it further, and it turns out what he did was he sang... Christmas carols with Vanessa Williams.
Oh.
So,
would have been nice if he sang "That's Amore."
I think it would have been nice if he had sang "Nessun Dorma," but that's just me. All right. So, still looking for the first and last on an alphabetical list of Saturday Night Live hosts.
Well, you have the last.
We don't.
Oh, alphabetical.
Alphabetically. No, we got the first. We got the oldest and the youngest.
It's after
Frank Zappa.
Z. Gosh. Okay. A's going to be much harder. You would think A would be... All right. Never mind. Okay.
You're assuming that it's...
Paula Abdul.
Good guess, but
that's
not right.
So there has to be the host, though.
Yeah. We're not looking for musical guests or people who make little cameos. We're talking
Roy Acuff.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
So... the only classical performer that was the only classical performer ever on the show?
As the musical guest. According to the list I looked at, Liberace made a quick cameo once.
Okay.
You know, and then if you want to count Zappa and if you want to count Laurie Anderson and some of these nouveau people, but, you know, straight-ahead classical person.
Okay.
Just
all
Pavarotti.
Right. Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'm going to start with a... with a tune that name, where I'm going to play, I have two selections tonight. I'm just going to play one. And this is very easy. I made them really easy. And I'm going to give you a further clue that they're both from a book I bought at the flea market recently of tunes from that were written between 1927 and 1937.
Well, my record is perfect. I have never, ever gotten one of these. You might explain what
I haven't
premises.
I heard you do this years ago, but I can't remember. You play it
backwards? Okay, I'm going to play the first musical phrase, a couple of measures of these tunes, one at a time. And you have to guess what tune it is. They're very easy to do.
Oh, they're not
really
backwards?
No, they are backwards.
Oh, yeah. You didn't say that. Okay.
Oh. Yeah,
all
they
right.
are backwards. Okay.
We'll see how good Josh's ear is. It's just my
that's
record.
The first.
Forget
that's
about
my
the
record
key.
Is perfect.
The
yeah.
Timing.
All right.
Just think of the notes.
Okay.
That's a very famous. I know you know it.
So this is a this would be the chorus. This would not be
yes.
like the verse.
Yeah, it's not
like
the
that.
Verse.
Okay.
No.
And
no,
is
really
this a popular
does.
Song?
Oh yeah,
a
you
totally
know it. A
very
classic.
Popular song. Okay.
Don't know.
All right. No.
What's the other one?
No, I'm going to do them separately.
You,
I'm not going to throw
mind?
All my questions like
right.
you did.
Hey,
so
you know,
generous. I'm,
you do you.
I'm like a miser.
As a favor, could you play once more?
Oh, yes.
All right.
And now you're not paying any attention to the rhythms. You're just giving us the notes in order.
All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sheldon on a boat in Richmond.
Hi, Sheldon.
I got a quick question for you. It's a rerun from a question that was on You Bet Your Life.
Okay.
What is a flamadiddle?
Flamadiddle. Do you know how to spell it?
I'm guessing F-L-A-M-A-D-I-D-D-L-E.
This is a real word, or is this some kind of whimsical coinage?
This is a real word. I was very surprised. I thought, oh, that's a funny word. And then I looked it up, and it's actually very common amongst the people who use it.
Flamadiddle. Do the people who use this because it's an item that comes up in their work? I mean, are these, barrel makers, and this is a word for the thing that holds the barrel together, something like that, or?
Well, they're entertainers.
They're entertainers. It's a vaudeville term.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know where it originated, but it's still in use today.
It's still in use today.
Yeah.
Gosh, no idea.
I don't know.
No.
Flamadiddle.
Flamadiddle.
Do you want to leave it out?
Oh, I'm sure somebody's going to know it. Yeah, sure, I'll leave it out.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you. Time for me to make a call and make a pledge.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, good night.
And let's see, flamadiddle. All right, let me do a couple of questions here. What is the only sea on Earth, and sea is S-E-A, only sea on Earth with no land boundary at all?
Ooh. No land boundary at all?
The only real sea on Earth.
So it's surrounded by ocean?
That's right. It has no land boundary.
What could that be? That's a great question. I got to think about it.
The Holy Sea.
It's not a trick question.
So there's
It's ocean. A real sea.
It's a sea?
Yeah.
All the seas I know have land somewhere. Mm-hmm. Why is it? What's it bounded by? It's not the Caribbean. It's not the... those are all... Is it... No?
What is the only sea on Earth...
I don't know.
S-E-A.
I have to think about
that.
That
has no land boundary at all. Okay. And, Leah, this is more your type of question.
Hey.
All right. I'll leave it out. A type of tea, banana... eggplant, mustard, and pepper are all named after this country.
Say them again.
A type of tea, T-E-A, mm-hmm. banana, eggplant, mustard, and pepper are all named after this country.
Ceylon?
No.
That's not a country anymore, but...
Right. But no.
So they all have...
They all have this country's name, like Irish tea,
right,
banana, blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
No, it's not that. So, a type of tea, banana.
I've never heard of a kind of banana.
Eggplant, mustard, and
banana.
Pepper are all named after this country. And it's a current country. It's not an old, but the name is still in use. No?
No.
All right, think it over. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Gareth from Hayward.
Hi, Gareth.
Hey, regarding the Saturday Night Live question, was the youngest guest host Jodie Foster?
No, the youngest guest host, Dana actually guessed that. It was Drew Barrymore, who was 7 years old at the time.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple questions. This is my first regarding Saturday Night Live. Which guest host of Saturday Night Live bombed so badly that his show was taken out of the syndication package?
Well, there were a few people.
Wow.
One was Milton Berle.
Yeah, that's the
really?
One.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was so much of a bomb that Lorne Michaels didn't like him, and I think that's why.
Lorne Michaels didn't like him, but he kids cut the show so bad it was never put in syndication.
All right, all right.
So here's my second question.
Yes.
Josh, I don't know if you might know the answer to this question. They just came out with a music for The Rifleman. The composer Herschelberg Gilbert's site with what classical composer?
So they just came out with the music from The Rifleman, and what was the rest of it again?
Yeah, Hirschberg gave it a composer study with what classical composer. I'll give you a clue. He was known for promoting music on television.
He was known for promoting music.
Classical music on television.
Yeah.
Mitch Miller.
That's good.
No.
Andre Kostolanitz.
No. I'll give you a clue. He scored one feature film.
Huh.
Promoted classical music on TV. Not Arthur Fiedler. I'm trying to think who did commercials or did stuff like that for classical music on TV.
Don't know.
No, we don't know.
You don't know?
Uh-huh.
Leonard Bernstein.
Oh,
didn't he score more than one movie? I thought it was...
No, Leonard Bernstein only scored one feature from Underwater.
Oh, that was the only one he did?
That was it? Oh, okay.
Movies.
Huh.
I thought it was
more than
that. All right. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Josh, it's your turn.
All right. I'm going to ask you about... I got interested this week in Oscars for Best Adapted Screenplay. So I'm going to give you the writer.
We've gotten down to that now, haven't we?
Oh, I like these. I like these. These are good. I'm going to give you the writer, mm-hmm. and you tell me the movie that won a Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar for the person who adapted that. So if I say Harper Lee, you say To Kill a Mockingbird.
All right.
Okay. Not the book, but the movie.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
So I have a list of writers, some of them better known than others. Seven of them. Lillian Hellman. Let me read them out. Lillian Hellman, Charles Jackson, Larry McMurtry, Sinclair Lewis, Ben Mezrich, Clifford Odets, and B. Traven. Once again, Lillian Hellman, Charles Jackson, Larry McMurtry, Sinclair Lewis, Ben Mezrich, Clifford Odets, and B. Traven. So all of these people wrote something that somebody else adapted into an Oscar-winning screenplay.
B. Traven.
Yeah.
Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
That is correct.
And do you want more?
If you got another one, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think Lillian Hellman was Toys in the Attic?
No.
No, the toy. What's the thing she wrote with toy in it?
Toys in the Attic is something she wrote, but it was not a...
Wasn't it a movie with...
Well, it may have been a movie, but it wasn't...
Oh, The Children's Hour. That's the one that she wrote.
But that didn't win it. That's not the one I'm looking for.
Charles Jackson wrote The Lost Weekend.
That is correct.
What's the diff?
Right.
Your favorite.
Why, Natch, Gloria. Natch. One of my all-time favorite movies.
Lonesome Dove from McMurtry?
No.
No.
No. That actually never became a movie. It was a TV.
It was a TV series.
Yeah, right.
And was St. Clair Lewis...
that could be a couple of different things.
Oil?
No, that's Upton Sinclair.
Oil. I always get them mixed up.
I do, too. I can never keep them straight.
St. Clair Lewis, there are different things. I mean, it could be Dodsworth. It could be Elmer Gantry.
It's one of those.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Elmer Gantry.
It's Elmer Gantry.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a bell for Elmer Gantry.
I think Dodsworth is much the better movie, but...
I trust you implicitly, having seen neither of them.
All right.
All right. So still looking for the movies that won Oscars for a Best Adapted Screenplay based on work by Lillian Hellman, Larry McMurtry, Ben Mezrich, or Ben Mezrich, I don't know how to pronounce it, and Clifford Odets.
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is Joshua Kosman, the classical music critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. Of course, columnist Leah Garchik, also for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And what is it, Leah?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And, of course, you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. We, of course, are doing pledging tonight, raising money for the station. More important than ever that you pledge and become a member if you are not already. If you appreciate Minds Over Matter and the kind of programming that KALW brings you, now is the time to do it. What with our illustrious president threatening to pull any funding from things like this. So I'll let you talk to David and hear David, and he can tell you a little bit more about that.
Thanks, Dana. Yes, indeed. In his budget, President Trump did propose eliminating federal funding for public broadcasting. We hope you'll join us in defending that federal funding and that you will help keep public radio strong at its base by supporting KLW. About 9% of our budget comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but listener support is far more important. 72% comes directly from people who listen. That's the best possible foundation for this station. And it is Sustainer Sunday on KLW. Today only, when you make the commitment to give ongoing monthly support to KLW, you can take the thank you gift of your choice at KLW.org. Or give a call, 800-525-9917. Now back to the panel. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you. And again, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. So let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, hi. This is John from Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
And Rick from Bernal Heights answers the first question from a caller. It is a drumming pattern.
Oh, flamadiddle. All right, excellent.
Huh.
A drum.
I don't know. Did he leave the answer?
I don't think he did, but
I will
take your word for it.
Now, I have been nursing a friendly grievance for the past 3 weeks, because April 23rd passed and there was nary a question about
William Shakespeare.
Exactly. So I have a question or two.
All right, go ahead.
And the first one is, what was his birthday? I mean, how is that determined? Do we actually know the date on which he was born?
You know, his wife went out to buy a card 2 days before. They have the credit card receipt.
Went to Walgreens.
Think we're in, still almost medieval Europe.
Right.
What would have happened to
a baby? There would
be
a baptism record.
Yes, it is. It's the baptismal record.
Sure.
Right. And that's the close. So, they looked at the baptismal record and they tried to come up with, usually they baptized within about 3 days or so. The most would be about a week. And so that's how they came up with the date. But it also coincides with something very English.
Something very English. You mean the date?
April 23rd?
Yeah, the 23rd. It's sort of, it's one of those my how convenient things. The greatest English poet is born also on... Think of the British, not the British, but the English flag is the cross of...
St. George.
St. George, right. It is St. George's Day as well. Yeah. Now, I have, since Josh is here, what are the three Verdi operas based on Shakespeare? Or at least I know only three. Maybe
there are only three, exactly so. They are Macbeth, and then much later at the end of his career... Otello and Falstaff.
Right. Now we're getting into the more obscure stuff.
Okay.
There's a famous French version of Hamlet, composed by...
By Ambroise Thomas.
Yes.
And I'll just put... Wait,
now
let me... Wait, wait.
Oh,
no, wait, wait. I want to put in a plug here. The West Edge Opera Company is going to be doing that piece this very summer. In either the end of July or the beginning of August, probably the beginning of August. So look out for that.
Very good plug. They're an admirable group. At the Opera Delaware on May 14th, they're going to do another Hamlet with libretto by Boito, who wrote the two late Verdi.
Are you going to ask me who wrote it?
Yes.
Yeah, I can picture the title. It's Amleto. Spanish Amleto.
Okay, but you. As a matter of fact, it was a very popular butcher shop in Little Italy in New York. Franco Faccio. I don't think he is a relative, but he composed it at age 25, and
remarkable.
It premiered at La Scala in 1871.
All right. Good.
Thank you.
All right, so I got my little bit of Shakespeare in there, and next year I hope we'll have Shakespeare questions.
I'll remember that. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And Lee, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. In the whole world, no, I'll ask the simple question. What's the most widely used English word in the world?
Coca-Cola. The most widely used?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a thing, as Josh suggested?
No.
Yeah, I say Coca-Cola?
Yeah. No.
Huh.
Okay. Can you tell us how many letters it has?
No. Absolutely not.
So it's not I.
Well, if it's the most commonly used word among Anglophones, like and or the or of or something, that's not interesting. So let's give
it's the most commonly used in other languages.
Right, exactly. So let's assume it's a word used by people who aren't speaking English. So it's something like dollar or.
No, it's not a thing, though.
Did she say that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear her say that. She's being tight-lipped. Mm. I don't know. Can we say it on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Ask the question once more, if you would.
What's the most widely used English word in the world?
Okay.
And I have a limerick from Sweden.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
When taking some high tea in Sweden, it's also the time for feedin'. In lieu of some nookie, it's time for a cookie. For masochists, maybe a beatin'.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oops. Sorry. Well, all right. He's away from the desk for the moment. I'll do a question. Okay. I have lots of geography tonight because, I don't know, it just worked out that way. So I'm going to give you three different cities. I want you to tell me the distance. I don't actually want you to give me the mathematical distance, but what is the furthest point from each of these cities that, and these are all capitals, mm-hmm. that is a possession of each of these countries.
Okay.
Okay? So Paris, London, and Washington. What is the furthest possession mile-wise away from each of those cities that, for instance, the possession of the United States, of the British, and of the French? What is the furthest point away?
So, like Morea or something like that for Paris.
Right, but no.
What's Morea?
It's in the South Seas.
Right.
No.
But no. So what is the furthest away possession of
Paris? But it would be somewhere in the South Pacific, right? I mean, it wouldn't be Réunion, right?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, you're
Horatio
in the general...
Pinsalut.
Yeah.
You're in the general area.
Tahiti.
No, not Tahiti.
What else do they have down there?
French Polynesia, isn't that a place?
I don't think it is anymore, I think.
They've called it Atu Atu or something.
I don't know. Probably the farthest place from London is like Pitcairn Island.
Pitcairn Island is the furthest place from London that is a British possession. Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
I win.
So what is the furthest place from Paris that is a French possession and the furthest possession from Washington, D.C. that belongs to the United States?
Oh, Washington, D.C. Let's see. Guam?
Nope.
That Subic Bay is, we don't own.
I don't know where that is.
No, we never own that.
That's in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's in the Philippines. So.
But that would be closer anyway.
Okay. But no. So what is the French possession that is furthest from Paris geographically, and what is the American possession that is furthest from Washington, D.C. geographically?
And you did say it was in the South Seas.
The French one is, yeah.
And nobody owns anything on Antarctica, right? That's all like, I mean,
no,
there's zones of influence,
right.
Like post-war
the
Vienna. No.
Ice cube.
Right.
The South Seas.
Huh. All right.
Okay.
I'm satisfied with my
performance.
Sure
you are. And let's go to a... Wait a minute. Can we go to a call? Where is he? All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, okay. This is Lorraine in Emeryville.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. And I don't know if anybody's answered yet, but I have a guess on the flamadiddle.
Go ahead.
Is it a drumming term?
Yes. Musicians? Somebody mentioned that earlier, but the fact that you know it is impressive enough. So there's a bell for you. What can you describe it at all, or is there any way to describe it?
I know there's a paradiddle, and so I'm guessing it's similar to a paradiddle, but I can't tell you exactly what it is. It's they practice flat, different things, and so I'm guessing. I can't tell you the beat or anything like that.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a guess on the C, but I don't think it's right. Could it be the Sargasso?
It is the Sargasso C. Very good.
Excellent.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
Wow,
good job.
Of course.
Or Sargasso C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Good
all
job.
Right, cool. All right. Well, that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Sargasso C. All right. Of course.
Bye.
Yes. The Sargasso Sea is the only sea on Earth with no land boundary, so it is bounded on the west by the Gulf Stream, on the north by the North Atlantic Current, on the east by the Canary Current, and on the south by the Equatorial Current.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
I'm just sitting here checking off all the answers that I knew that other people are getting.
All right.
The SOC was going to be one of them. Let's see. Elmer Gantry I knew. Betty White I knew. Let's try the most widely used English word. How about okay?
Yep.
Well done.
Very good.
Okay. Yes.
Very
okay.
good.
Okay.
Okay, good. And the American, the furthest away ownership, is it American Samoa?
It is not.
Not that. Okay. Well, that's all I have answered yet.
That's it? Okay.
I've got a question for you.
Good.
That drops back, if you remember, 2 weeks ago. Dana, I saved this for you when you were gone last week.
All right.
2 weeks ago, I asked you about best actors who received the most nominations by decade.
Right.
So tonight we'll do which actresses received the most best actress nominations by decade. There are a couple of decades where there are two. There's one, the 2000s had three. I'll take the current decade out of contention, the 2010s. There's currently a tie between Jennifer Lawrence and Meryl Streep. So then for any other decade from the 30s on through today, who had the most best actress nominations by decade?
Well, isn't Streep in all of them, basically?
Just about.
I mean, yeah. Surely the 80s and the 90s, right?
How about...
80s, in the 80s, she had six. In the 90s, she had four.
Are those...
And she's currently leading the 2010.
Uh-huh. So are those top scores?
She is the leader of each of those. There was a tie in one of the others.
Okay.
How about the 30s, either Norma Shearer or Betty Davis?
Norma Shearer with six.
Okay. Oh, 40s. What's the leader in the... How many for the leader in the 40s?
In the 40s, it was five.
Well, Katharine Hepburn has to come in here somewhere, right?
Oh, Greer Garson.
Oh.
Greer Garson had five nominations in the 40s. She's right. The leader there. Right. Josh, you're correct.
In the 50s for Hepburn, I'm going to guess, huh?
Actually, you're half right.
Okay.
We're half right.
Meaning that the 50s is half of the answer.
Oh, she led twice?
She led twice.
But not in... She's tied for one? She's not in this...
Go ahead, finish the sentence.
She's not... Is she tied for one of these in the 30s or 40s? She's not into the 60s.
Not the 30s and 40s.
You're not telling me Katharine Hepburn is racking up nominations in the 60s?
In the 60s?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Three.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, she won two Oscars in the 60s.
On Golden Pond?
That's later. Later, but she won for
The Lion and Winter.
Dinner and Lion and Winter.
Sure.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yes, Katharine Hepburn was tied with someone else.
In the 60s.
In both the 50s and the 60s.
All right, and we're still looking for the 70s.
And we're still looking for... we had nobody in the 70s yet, or the 2000s.
Yeah.
All right. So I think what we'll do now is we'll put you on hold, and then you can give the answers, and then we'll let people guess.
Okay.
Thank you for the question. I appreciate
it. Good question.
They're all big names. People
sure.
ought to get them.
Okay. All right. I'll put you on hold. Hold on.
Okay, thanks.
And let's see. I believe it is your turn, Josh.
Oh. Well, I hate to keep going on with Oscars, but I had some follow-up questions about best adapted screenplays, which I want to just get in now while the list is still live. This list of writers whose work was adapted for Oscar-winning screenplays, there are two people who are on the list twice. Can you name them? There's only two who show up twice on this list.
You mean famous authors?
Famous author. Well, one's a famous author, one's an author. And, yeah, I guess they're both famous in different ways. These are people whose work has been adapted twice to Oscar-winning screenplays. The other question I had about adapted screenplays is, what is the only film that got a nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay based on a work of classical Greek literature? It did not win. I was looking for it in the winning list. That's why that's what got me started on this. But
was it an updated version of
it? It sure was.
Okay.
So again, the two writers whose work has been twice the basis for Oscar-winning adapted screenplays, and what is the only film nominated for an Oscar based on a work of classical Greek literature?
Oh. Okay. Maybe funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Oh, what a good guess. What a good guess, but not right. Yeah, that's wonderful. No.
Did that win? Movie didn't win any?
How about Morning Becomes Electra?
No.
Which is an up... That's but that's Greek literature.
I'm not denying that it's a good candidate, but it isn't the right answer.
Okay.
What is the Odyssey? Was it recently that was based
on? I can't
think
of the update.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Bell. That's exactly right. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Good job.
Listed as nominated for adapting the Odyssey of Homer.
Okay. All right. And let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet.
Writers whose work has been adapted into a best adapted screenplay. Lillian Hellman, what movie? Larry McMurtry, Ben Mezrich, Clifford Odets. And who are the two writers whose work has been twice adapted into Oscar-winning screenplays? Also looking for the first and last alphabetically in a list of Saturday Night Live hosts. I'll tell you, there are both female movie actresses.
Oh, the alphabetical.
The alphabeticals, just to narrow it down a little bit.
Was the Clifford Odets, did they make a movie of It Can't Happen Here?
They might have, but that's Sinclair Lewis.
They were going to.
Sinclair Lewis.
Or Upton Sinclair, whichever Sinclair it is.
Or Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
They were going to do that in the 30s, and then there was pressure put on them not to do it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Let's see.
I just read something about Larry McMurtry, and I remember it said that he had early on written something that surprised me that I didn't know was his, but I can't
this
remember
was it?
What was it was.
Lillian Hellman, it wasn't Watch on the Rhine, was it?
No.
She actually
Julia.
Did that screenplay herself.
Was it Julia?
It was
really?
Julia. Give the woman a bell. Julia, is that
right.
Exactly correct.
All right.
That screenplay was based on her.
Every word she ever wrote was a lie.
Her phony baloney.
And okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Leah, would you repeat anything that's been
Yeah, I just have my backwards phrase, which we'll play once again. Take it from the middle. That if you can turn that inside out or upside down in your mind,
you will
know what it is.
Mm. All right. And let's see. What do I have left here? A type of tea, banana, eggplant, mustard, and pepper are all named after this country. What is the country? And what is the possession of French that is furthest away geographically from Paris? What is the French possession that is furthest away geographically from Paris?
And Reunion?
That's a good guess. That's a very good guess. Reunion Island.
No, I said that before, and he shot it down.
Yeah, but it's not. And what is the American possession that is furthest away from Washington, D.C.? Okay. Let's see. Was there anything else?
It's here? Not St. Pierre and Miquelon. That's
that's Canada. That's actually not that far. No, yeah, you read that article in the.
We went there on our honeymoon.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting place to go on your honeymoon. Was it nice?
It was really nice and sort of a place the time forgot, as they say. Hmm. We went to Nova Scotia and then we heard about it while we were there and we just got on a plane and went.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David from Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, I have a few guesses, at least.
Okay, good.
So for the SNL, is it Renee Zellweger?
Ooh,
oh,
good,
what a
very
guess.
Good guess. Very good guess. Good guess. I bet she did host, and I bet she's second to last, but she's not last.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Huh.
So I'm lost who it could be then. For the adapted screenplays, most, I have two guesses. Is Shakespeare?
No. Not,
okay,
no.
Then, sorry.
Go ahead.
What about George Bernard Shaw?
No, George Bernard Shaw. His work was the basis for the Pygmalion screenplay, but that was the only one. Repeated.
Okay. Well, I got beaten to "okay" being the most popular word. So here's my last guess for Leah. Is the song "Mary Had a Little Lamb"?
No. You'll be amused if you stay listening.
Songs. I get them less frequently than Dana does.
Okay.
I have a question.
All right. Go ahead.
So I have a couple of taglines from famous movies.
Right.
And I'll give you the tagline and see if you can come up with what movies. These movies were all nominated for Best Picture, by the way.
When you say tagline, you mean what they used in the advertising?
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
And at some level, you can probably figure out at least some. So they're young, they're in love, and they kill people.
Go ahead.
Sugarland Express.
No,
it's Bonnie and Clyde.
It's Bonnie and Clyde, right?
It's Bonnie and Clyde, right. Right. On every street, in every city, there's a nobody who dreams of being a somebody.
Ooh. Is that Rocky?
No.
That's about 1,000 movies, though, isn't it?
This is nominated for Best Picture, and it pretty well sums up the...
How about Marty?
Think less optimistic than Rocky or Marty.
Okay. Oh, less optimistic.
Sort of the downside of a nobody who dreams of being a somebody.
Taxi Driver?
Oh, that's good.
Is that right?
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. Good job.
Okay, thanks.
You guys have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Let's see here. Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Take a call. Yeah.
We need to
beg for money.
Yeah, we need to put the sleeve on people here.
All right.
So, just to remind you again that as much as you're enjoying the show, we're brought to you through the largesse of KALW, and they took a chance on us, almost 24 years ago. So. If you appreciate the show and the kind of wonderful programming that they have at KALW, please, now's the time to make a pledge and help support the station and become a member if you're not a member already. All you have to do is go to kalw.org or call 1-800-525-9917, but David will tell you a little bit more.
Thanks, Dana. 800-525-9917 is the number to call. We do strive to keep our on-air fundraising to a minimum, just 10 days twice a year, and we depend on you to make that call during the programming as you're listening and enjoying Minds Over Matter on this Sustainer Sunday. Today only, when you become a sustaining member, even if you're already a member of KLW, we're encouraging you. Well, first of all, we're thanking you for being a member, but we're encouraging you on this Sustainer Sunday to perhaps make a monthly gift to support the station you depend on. 800-525-9917 or make your gift online at klw.org. Again, consider becoming a sustainer of local public radio that brings you Minds Over Matter. Thanks.
Thank you, David. And let's try to make this the best Sunday that Minds Over Matter ever had, pledge-wise. So we'd love to have a lot of new members tonight who have listened to the show for a long time, perhaps, and have not become members. So now's the time. Show how much you appreciate the show and all the wonderful programming they have here at KALW. And Leah, I believe it is your turn.
Okay. I have a list of six structures in San Francisco, and I want you to put them in size place by height. Sutro, okay, ready, mm-hmm. set, go.
Go.
Sutro Tower, mm-hmm. the tallest tree in the city. Bay Bridge, Transamerica Pyramid, City Hall, and the Salesforce Tower. So everybody knows where that one stands. So, but
go over the list once more, if you will.
Sutro Tower, the tallest tree in the city, the Bay Bridge, Transamerica Pyramid, City Hall, and the Salesforce Tower. So put them biggest to smallest.
We're assuming that Salesforce Tower would be
right.
First. Yeah, because I can't think of a tree that's taller than that. The tallest tree in the city. That's interesting. Well,
wouldn't Transamerica Pyramid be second? Or am I? Do we have to get them all right?
Yeah, you have to get them all right.
All right. This has to be thought of for a few minutes, I think. Let me do a couple questions, and then we'll start taking some more calls. All right, these are classical music questions dealing with the San Francisco Symphony. Who was the first conductor of the San Francisco Symphony to be on the cover of Time magazine?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess it would have to be Pierre Monteux.
No.
Okay, then.
And I mean a resident conductor, a permanent.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know what you meant.
Okay.
As opposed to a guest conductor.
Right.
Was this somebody who was on the cover of the magazine while they were?
Yes. Yes.
So if it's not Monteux, then it would be Seiji Ozawa.
No.
Then I don't know.
Okay. So again, who was the first conductor of the San Francisco Symphony to be on the cover of Time magazine while this person was the conductor of the symphony?
Oh, that's Michael?
Nope.
I doubt that. Mm.
Nope.
And I can't imagine Bloomstead was on
the cover. No. It would have to be, I don't know.
And
Alfred Hertz.
Yes.
Alfred Hertz,
1925.
Okay.
Excellent.
That was a different magazine then.
All right, second question. Who was the first world-famous composer to conduct the San Francisco Symphony? Who was the first world-famous composer who actually conducted the San Francisco Symphony?
Well, Prokofiev made a concert tour here, but I don't know that he conducted. I don't know.
Okay.
Can you give me a decade?
It might help you a little too much if
okay.
I do.
Then I don't.
But it's an extremely famous composer, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So who was the...
And was he famous as a conductor, too?
Well, he was a conductor, conducting mostly his own works. I don't know if it was a...
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know if he was... He wasn't as famous as a conductor, let's put it that way.
Right.
But he's extremely famous as a composer.
Okay.
So who was the first world-famous composer to conduct the San Francisco Symphony? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So I want you to name the most dense country in the world, which means more people live per square mile than anywhere else.
That would be Monaco.
How did you know?
I'll tell you why I know this, Ed.
Yeah.
Because it's a funny thing. If you make an alphabetical, if you make an alphabetical list, the most dense country and the least dense country are next to each other alphabetically.
Yeah.
And when I found that out, I remembered it. And I think I've asked that on the show. Do you know what's the least?
Yes.
Are you asking?
Yeah.
Mongolia.
There you go. Good job. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very quick question because we're almost at the end of the time. Einstein was received the Nobel Prize not for general or special relativity. He actually received it for something that became real practical today, especially. Now, what subject did he get Nobel Prize on?
He invented the safety pin.
No.
I don't know.
I will leave that for next time, but just one last question for your audience. Really, it's very important to my heart. And by the way, everybody should commit as much money as possible, KLAW, because it's the best station on the air today.
Thank you.
What
happened
to PGO? They totally destroyed it again for the third or the first time. What I'd like to ask the question, in the year 1250, an Egyptian woman, and nobody speak bad about Egyptian women because they have been the best, had the best right over the last 5,000 years, She led the Egyptian army after her husband's death, and she totally defeated and decimated the army of King Louis Alliance of France. Name her for next time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
I don't seem to be doing too well tonight, but I did have Sargasso Sea.
Good for you.
But I do have a question.
Right.
I'm thinking of a Hollywood actress who made two films in a row, the titles of which both start with a number.
Oh.
Who's the actress, and what are the titles of the films?
Huh. Two films in a row, and... Well, can you give us a decade?
Early part of the second half of the 20th century.
You mean the...
Is that the 1950s?
Yeah.
60s.
60s.
Oh, 60s. Okay.
1960s.
All right.
I don't know if this is relevant at all, but I mean, are they spelled out, or are they like 12 Years a Slave, where if you alphabetized it, it would go at the front?
No, the numbers are figures rather than...
Oh, okay, good. Huh.
So it could be
the second word of both titles is the same.
Oh. I was going to guess Fahrenheit 451,
how about
Julie Christie?
Two for the Road.
No.
Audrey Hepburn. No. And
10 Little Indians. Someone who made that.
No.
What did you say? The number is the same, or the rest of it is the same?
The second word is the same after the number.
The number is the first word.
Yep.
Then there's a second word that's the same, and then there might be more words?
There are four words in each title.
There are four words
in each
title.
It's 1960s.
Huh.
Are these well-known movies?
Oh, yes.
Is two one of the numbers?
No. Besides the actress in the first movie, appeared David Niven, and in the second movie appeared Frederick March.
Hmm.
Oh. Wasn't there an address? There was an address in a Frederick March movie.
1963, 1964.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I like Frederick March.
Who doesn't like
Frederick? Is that movie about, was it a Boston address?
Not an address.
Oh, yeah. I know what you think. I
you know what I'm thinking of?
It's 10 North Frederick. Is that? No, yeah.
I don't know.
The second word in both titles is the word days.
It's 3 days of the Condor and 8 days a week or something like this.
David Niven, Frederick March. Oh, yeah, 7 days in May as well.
Yes, that's 64.
That's a Frederick March. And
did I give you the actress?
Ava Gardner must.
Yes, very good.
The
other film.
So
the one she made just before 7 days in May.
55 days in Peking.
You got it. Good job.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Keep those pledges coming.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Good night.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
San Francisco.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm nervous because I think I know a lot of these, which means I don't. For Hellman, is it Little Foxes?
No. It was
okay.
Julia. Leah got that while you were waiting.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm so sad. Okay, and I thought it might be Julia. Okay. And Leah, is it Do-Re-Mi?
No. No.
Okay. That's why I knew I was concerned. Okay, how about Catherine Zeta-Jones as the
yes.
person?
Good. Yes.
Oh.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is the last alphabetically.
Good
Very
job.
Nice.
All right.
Okay, thank you. And Clifford Odette, what about Lonely Are the Brave?
Ooh, good guess, but not right.
Okay, and I know he wrote some when he was blacklisted, but I don't know what. And then ABBA?
No, not as the...
I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the whole thing with the... See, I'm thinking Cayenne, which isn't a place.
It is a place,
then,
but it's not a country.
I know.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, France, because Auberge is eggplant, isn't it?
But no.
I give up. Okay,
right.
So...
Aubergine.
And you already got the C, right?
We did. Sargasso.
Okay, well, I'm going to be very satisfied with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Right, and well, you should. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Jane in Oakland.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. So didn't Larry McMurtry write The Last Picture Show?
He wrote, as I recollect,
he wrote that, but that did not win
an Oscar for Best Picture. Okay. For Best Adapted Screenplay. So you're half right, but that's
oh,
not...
Oh, I shouldn't give you that answer. Never mind.
Yes, you're on the right track.
Okay. And for Leia's song, is that I Get No Kick from Champagne?
Oh, yes, it is.
From Champagne?
Yes, it is. All right, great
well
job. Yes.
Thank you.
Good job.
That's all.
Excellent. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. This is Sabrina in Seattle.
Hi, Sabrina.
I couldn't quite understand the last person. Did she get the Loathsome Dove?
She guessed The Last Picture Show, which also Larry
all
McMurtry,
right.
But also not right.
And oh, not, well, my guess was Loathsome Dove?
Right. No, I'm saying, yeah, that's also close, but not right.
Okay. For the eggplant and tea and all that, Japan?
It is not Japan.
Rats. All right, the last guess. The France, Paris, Possession, Martinique?
Not Martinique,
ooh.
No.
Dang it. Totally struck out. Well, I need a Saragossa C. Oh, well.
Good job on that, though.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Time to clean up here, I think. What do you got, Josh?
Larry McMurtry, his novel was the basis for the Oscar-winning screenplay for Terms of Endearment.
Terms
of Endearment.
All right.
Clifford Odets, The Country Girl.
Okay.
And Ben Mezrich wrote the book on which was based the screenplay for The Social Network. The two writers who appear twice on the list are Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather and Godfather 2,
right.
And E.M. Forster, who won Ruth Prower Javalava, two adapted Oscar screenplays. The earliest, first alphabetical on the list of Saturday Night Live hosts is Amy Adams. Amy Adams. That's
right.
It.
All right, Leah.
I'm all done, but I can't resist playing that.
That I would have gotten.
Yep, yeah, that works.
Did you have any other questions, Adam?
No, I'm going to save my questions about landmarks.
Okay.
It's a kind of juicy question.
Let's see.
The tea, the banana.
Yes.
Bring it. We need
a type
know.
Of tea, banana, eggplant, mustard, and pepper are all named after Ethiopia. Ethiopia. And the first world-famous composer to conduct the San Francisco Symphony was Saint-Saëns. 1915.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
1915.
That I did not know. Paris and French and American.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for that. Play that on that. Play that.
I could do that.
And let's see. The Paris, the furthest distance from Paris to a French possession is New Caledonia.
Oh, and it's New Zealand. It's part of New
Well, no, it's north of New Zealand. It's a little tiny bit north of New Zealand.
And
Washington, D.C. is Attu Island. Attu Island in the it's in the North Pacific, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't I say Attu Island?
Did you say? I'm sorry.
But
you
I didn't
did,
know
I
where
David,
it was.
We need to know who got the most Best Actress Oscar nominations in the 70s, or at least I need to know.
Oh, indeed.
That.
In the 70s, it was Glenda Jackson and Jane Fonda.
Oh, I was going to guess Fonda.
Right. And 60s, did anyone get the 60s? Anne Bancroft.
Katharine Hepburn.
Bancroft.
Yeah, 50s, Deborah Carr.
Of course.
80s, Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
90s, Meryl Streep and Susan Sarandon. And then in the noughts, it was Judi Dench, Kate Winslet, and Meryl Streep once again.
Interesting.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
My great thanks to Josh Cosman and Leah Garchik from the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulip for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Please, if you enjoy this Minds Over Matter and all the programming on KALW, now is the time to call and pledge. We'd love to have new members, and we'd love to have sustaining members as well. So please go to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. Or call 1-800-525-9917. Please step up to the plate and let us know how much you appreciate the programming on KALW and Minds Over Matter as well. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
It's got to be one way or the other. If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend... You bank.